In this wonderful portion of scripture at the end of Galatians chapter 6, Paul is summarizing some important points as we've journeyed through this book together and seen how he is clarifying and defending the gospel of grace, justification by faith alone without works, heralded through the letter, particularly in response to the false teaching of the Judaizers, which were kind of adding the element or the requirement of observing the law to the gospel. And we understand that the gospel is grace plus nothing. It's by faith alone, by grace through faith we are saved. So Paul beautifully puts this forward in this letter. And in this closing passage, he summarizes a few points and leaves one last further plea to his listeners, to his dear beloved in Galatia. He brings into focus the very center of the gospel. If you think of bringing the gospel to the very center, it is the cross. It is the act and the event of Christ's substitutionary sacrifice on our behalf of sinners, making a way for us to be justified freely by grace through faith alone, without works. So he brings circumcision, which represents observing the law in its entirety, and the cross side by side. He brings circumcision and the cross side by side and speaks about the false grounds for boasting and the true grounds for boasting. The Judaizers would boast in their observance of keeping the law and being circumcised, and how that they would see that their converts, see that their converts are also circumcised, and they would boast in that. And Paul says, I boast only in the cross of Christ. So let's jump in here in verse 11. He says, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Now, when he says large letters, he's not talking about the length of his letter, but it's actually referring to the letters that are being used in the words. In other words, he's referring to the handwriting, the letters that are used. And he says, see what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Now, as we know, letters were usually or often dictated. Paul, in cases, we can clearly see where he has dictated his letter, and there's a scribe who's been recording what he's writing. It seems here that Paul writes the last part of this letter himself. In this last part, it says, you see with what large letters I've written to you with my own hand. So as they'd have been looking at this inspired letter, the handwriting would have changed. Paul seems to have written it in caps or in bold writing, clearly making a distinction between him and the scribe. And why did he do that? It seems that he did that for emphasis, saying, listen, okay, give me the pen. Almost like we would say to someone's talking to someone on the phone, you say, oh, listen, let me talk to him. You know, let me speak to him personally. And Paul wanted to do that in this letter. Listen, let me write this. And he writes it with his own hand. He writes it in big letters with emphasis, expressing his heart, the urgency, and also, of course, his authority for his last plea from the heart and also by his own hand. Verse 12, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised. So he's referring to these false teachers, the Judaizers. He says that they desire to make a good showing in the flesh and would compel or force or have you required to be circumcised and to keep the law. And this is what they did, these Jewish teachers. Though they adopted the gospel and confessed faith in Christ, nevertheless, they wanted to also observe the law, and anyone else, Gentile or Jew, who would embrace the gospel would expect it to be circumcised accordingly. The Judaizers were all about the external, the outward observance. And they were really in it for themselves. What was important for them was their show in the flesh, that they were successful teachers, and look at their converts, and oh, they haven't forsaken, you know, the law of Moses. They wanted to show that their proselytes were keeping to the Mosaic law. And why did they do that? Why did they compel them to be circumcised here in verse 12? And Paul says, only that they may not suffer persecution. And only that means, for the only reason to have you circumcised was that they would not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. What does he mean by that? He's saying, listen, if the Judaizers, when they have converts to the gospel, if they have them circumcised and have them be required to keep the law, they will avoid persecution from the other Jews, right? So this is what he says here, that they may not suffer persecution for the cross. In other words, they can disguise their own supposed profession of Christ behind the fact that, hey, listen, we are still good, upstanding Jews following the Mosaic law. We've been circumcised, we keep the law, and so do our converts. And because of that outward element to their ministry and converts, they would avoid persecution. And that's, of course, why Paul was persecuted, because he says it's by faith alone, you don't need to observe the law, and he was persecuted for it. He's maintaining faith in a crucified Savior alone was enough for justification. And that's what he means by the cross of Christ, which represents the fact that Christ paid the price in full and we're freely saved by grace. Verse 13, for not even those who are circumcised keep the law. So in other words, he's saying here, listen, they talk about being circumcised and everything, but really that's not the issue. It's not an issue for them because they don't even keep the law. They freely break the law in other areas, although they make such an emphasis on being circumcised. But they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Paul is saying, listen, they want to have you circumcised, dear Galatian believers, because they want to be able to boast in your flesh and say, look at our converts who are being converted to the gospel, which includes keeping the Mosaic law and being circumcised. They're boasting in this phrase, in your flesh. That the Galatian believers would be like an external mark of their success. They wanted to boast publicly of their converts who were getting circumcised. Verse 14, but God forbid, Paul says, that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, listen, they may want to boast in their converts, in those proselytes, those of you in Galatia who have come to faith, and they would love to boast in the fact that you are their converts, that you've been circumcised according to the law, etc. But I only want to boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the cross representing the full payment of Christ on our behalf. And as grace believers, and we think of this daily, really, don't we? As grace believers, we do marvel at that centerpiece of the gospel, the cross where he paid for our sins in full. And we marvel at that. See, we're either boasting in what we are doing for him, or we're boasting in what he has done for us. Our focus as a Christian in our daily experience and even in the very motives of our heart is somehow connected to what we believe we must do to earn God's favor, or the marveling at the fact that we can rest in his unconditional love and favor and security that the cross has availed for us. So they boast in their converts, in the circumcision keeping the law. My boasting is in the cross alone. Now, of course, the cross was an emblem of great shame at the time of Paul. But nevertheless, Paul and any believer who understands what the cross really represents, in the sense of paying in the full payment for our sins, will take moment will, you know, take a focus to glory in that. My boasting only in Christ and what he has done, what he has accomplished. So he is my song, my boasting, my rejoicing. That is my focus, Paul would say. In my ministry, in my motivation, in my preaching, in those who have become Christians under my ministry and under my teaching, where is our boasting? Is it in the fact that we are successful, or look at the church we are building, or look at the converts I have? No. We are glorying together in the cross, in the beauty of the cross, and the wonder of his grace, and the fullness of his salvation freely given to us. We marvel at that every day, knowing that it is really by his grace alone. So they will boast. So I will boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he continues saying, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. A wonderful phrase here that Paul puts this picture in there. Listen, I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom I have been crucified to the world and the world crucified to me. In other words, I am dead to the world and the world is dead to me. The cross is between us. I live a co-crucified life, and there are no handles for me in the world, and the world has no handles on me. But I am crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He lives now to honor and glorify Christ alone. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. So he makes the point of saying, listen, whether you're a circumcised Jew or an uncircumcised Gentile or a circumcised Gentile, none of that matters. Those externals don't matter. But what's the most important is the understanding and the focus and the faith that is directed at the cross of Christ and what he has done for us. The only thing that avails anything is a new creation. And this, of course, is echoed in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, all things have become new. Isn't that amazing to think of that? That you and I, we have been made anew. We are new creations or creatures in Christ with no connection to our history in Adam. We have been made anew. We died with Christ, buried in Christ, and risen with Christ. Verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Now, these last few verses here, as many as walk according to this rule, the word here is canon. It's where we get that, it's the idea of measuring stick, that something is measured out. Here's the beginning and here's the end. Here's the principle. And we want to measure things according to this. So what is the measurement? We are measuring it according to this, that it is by faith in Christ alone without works. And anyone who walks according to this rule, knowing and believing and embracing this truth, that they are accepted fully, made anew in Christ, anyone that's walking according to that measurement, peace and mercy be upon them. Isn't that wonderful? That peace rests upon us, that mercy rests upon us in truth and in our experience, because our measurement and our focus is on the cross of Christ. And notice he adds this phrase, and upon the Israel of God. Now, this is one of those verses that some people may say, oh, look, he's saying that the church is the Israel of God, and Israel is disqualified and no longer in the picture, etc. But it's describing a second group in this verse. We know that because he says, and upon. He's addressing a separate group. And Paul here is making reference to the Jews who have become believers along with the Gentiles who are becoming believers. He says, as many as walk according to this rule, dear Galatians, and upon the Israel of God, so Jews or Gentiles alike, who become believers, peace and mercy be upon them. And really, this serves as another swipe against the Judaizers. He's saying, these Jews that glory in the cross and the cross alone, oh, they are so blessed. Blessed are they. Verse 17, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. And Paul would face all kinds of opposition and persecution and misrepresentation in his own life and ministry. He says, listen, let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And what he's saying here is he's referring to the scars of his persecution, many of which, or some of which, he had even received in Galatia. They had seen his stance, his ministry, his position, how he was persecuted, stoned in Lystra, beaten, etc., and things like that. And these marks, he is saying, are, if you want to talk about external marks, these external marks are indicative of my devotion to Christ. You know my allegiance and where I stand by the marks that I bear. And in Paul's day, when slavery was part of that culture, in the ancient world, a slave would be marked by their master for a sense of possession and identification. And Paul is saying, here are my marks. These are the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you know who my master would be. You know where my allegiance would be. I do not shy away from the persecution of the cross. But it is for the cross and standing for the gospel that I have been persecuted, and I bear the marks of that. And then he closes in this last verse, and so shall we. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So after laying that verse before them, and it's a hard thing to do in one sense for Paul or any pastor or person, he lays it before them and says, listen, you can go with the Judaizers, or you can look to me and remember and embrace the gospel afresh in terms of grace without works. I mean, it's up to you. Let me lay it out for you. But I'm telling you, they want to boast in your flesh. They want to boast in their converts. They don't even keep the law themselves. It's an external religious system that is that by which you have been bewitched. And you are losing your joy and your fervency in the race, all these things referred to through the letter. And he says, but listen, here are my marks. You know where I stand. You know what I believe. You know what I have taught. You choose. Dear Galatian believers, it's up to you. And he closes with that verse, brethren. And this is the only letter where he closes with that title, a very personal title in terms of the family, right? Brothers, and remember, he begins the letter quite harshly, jumping straight in. I marvel you're so soon removed. No commendations or love or buffers. He goes straight into the issue. Oh, but now he closes the letter with this personal note. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. His last words chosen carefully. His last words speaking of grace. And of course, that is what runs through the letter. And this is the portion that I desire for you, dear Galatians. Not that you would be robbed of your understanding and experience of the grace of God, but that that would be your portion in fullness. As born again, grace believers continuing, and that goes back to Acts, Acts 13:43, where in the beginning when he went to Galatia, where he told them to continue in the grace of God. And here he says, oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And that is our heart for one another. That's my heart towards this church and each one listening this morning. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And may we be spared the heartache of false teaching that would rob us from enjoying the grace of God in full. So God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.